Come on, bless the Lord. He's wonderful. He's glorious. Every now and then. Hallelujah. Every now and then. Don't do it often, but every now and then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the magnificent things that he has done, the things that he continues to do. Amen. That praise, I just want you to know that was down payment. Hallelujah. That means I have intentions to get what God has given. And I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. For a down payment. Boy, look here. We're getting ready to have a concert up here. I hear Jasmine. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna have to excuse me today. I'm feeling sanctified. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. You gotta put a praise on it. Hallelujah. 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 All right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. I don't know what you come to do. Hallelujah. But I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Amen. I've learned not to question him. I just learned to go with the flow. If God knows everything, then he knows how to prepare us for what's coming down the road. Because he already is where we're going. Hallelujah. So you can't wait till you get to the battle. You can't wait till you get to the situation and then try to muster up a praise. But if you go in the battle already knowing you have the victory, by the time you show up, I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. 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 In advance. Look at here. Y'all be seated if you can. What God has for you. Oh, come on, forget it. Come on, Jazz. What God has for you. On the worship team, come on. What God has for you is too important. It's too important for you to miss your assignment. Hallelujah. It's too important for you to miss your assignment. God's putting people in your life that you need in order to accomplish what he has already set out for you to do. And we're going to put a praise on it in advance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room.
Come on, y'all.
It is here for me.
Come on, we can do this.
There's a breakthrough in this room and in my name on it. Hey, so what you gonna do?
So I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hallelujah.
We almost there. Come on.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey, there's a miracle in this room.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it.
Say there's a healing in this
room.
Come on and declare it.
And it's here for me.
There's a breakthrough.
There's a breakthrough in this room. And it's on it.
Hey, so what you gonna do?
So I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey, see, I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Put a down payment on our miracle. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm putting a down payment on my blessing.
There you go. Come on now.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey, so what you gonna do? Say I'm gonna.
No, I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on
I
it.
I dare you to use your praise as your weapon. I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey, hands, I command you to praise. Feet, I command you to praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on and put a down payment on your next miracle, your next blessing. Hallelujah. On your family's deliverance, come on and put a down payment on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. On my next job, I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, thank y'all. Hallelujah. Come on, we gotta preach.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I want the devil to know I am a child of God. I got a right to praise him. I got a necessity to praise him. It's a privilege to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you and we praise you for you building yourself an atmosphere. Because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. So before we start living it, you have already written it. Hallelujah. So we're just living out what's already been written. Hallelujah. And you showing us by faith how to do that. So Lord, we do give you the praise. We give you the honor and we give you the glory. Let us not be lengthy in the message, but let us be thorough. That you can do the complete work to continue to not only to encourage us, but to remind us of the manifold blessings of your person and the relationship that we have with you. In the name of Jesus, be glorified and be magnified now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah and amen. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God. Let us quickly turn our attention to the word of the Lord. He's a wonderful God. I want to thank God for all that's in the house. Is that general enough? Is that okay? Nobody offended with that greeting. Hallelujah. Love you all. Amen. Thank God for you all. Let's turn our attention to the word of the Lord. The Bible says, amen, and if you can, amen. We already have a few. Stand if you're able to stand. You to stand for the reading of God's word. I want to give you this. There is a word from the Lord. And I just want to talk to you just a little bit. Amen. Coming again from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and then from Hebrews 10 and 20. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and Hebrews 10 and 20. And the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in Hebrews 10 and 20, it says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers of his word, and let all of God's people say amen and amen again. Amen. You may have your seat in the presence of our life-changing King. Just for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the premise of the scriptures that we have just read, and that is that we are looking unto Jesus, because that's our theme and that's our cry and that's our mantra for this year. And then over in the 20th verse of the 10th chapter, it says, by a new and living way. So we're looking unto Jesus to reveal unto us through him the new and living way. Now, this term of principle in terms of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, let's first of all look at that term of looking. That's not a casual glance. That means to gaze up on. That means to concentrate, to fix your eyes up on. That means to study, to pull apart, to examine. It means, in essence, if you were going to buy a house, there are some things by law that must take place. You got to get an inspection and have somebody go from the ground all the way to the roof in terms of inspecting that house, because there could be some things in some places that you don't need to know about. You need to know fully what you are purchasing to know the value of that house that you are purchasing. And so with that, then, when it says to look unto Jesus, what it's telling us, and what I love about this, is it says the author and the finisher of our faith, and that word finisher is perfecter or perfection. In essence, when we look upon him initially, we are imperfect. When we look upon him initially, honestly, truth be told, we are a mess. But then we look upon him and we see his perfection, and then we see as it is our reflection in his perfection. In essence, if he by faith is allowed to make us, what we originally see is not what eventually that we will see as God continues to mold and make us into what he wants us to be. He says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And then it goes on to say, for the joy. Because in this particular scripture, we see spirit, soul, and body as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. This word joy is a deep sense of inner well-being, knowing that God has adequate resources enough. And this is what talking about the spirit, because it's in the spirit that we have that joy, that kind of joy. Not that the world gives unto us, not that thing that's up and down and temporary, but that which is eternal, joy. That deep sense of inner well-being, knowing that you are accomplishing the mission and the destiny that God has given unto you. Jesus models that for us. He says that you might do that what you see that I have done. And so in that, then, we have this point where he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's his body. So the joy is the spirit. The cross is his physical body. For his body. He says, I went through all that I went through in my body in order that I might fulfill the joy of the Lord. Yeah. And then he comes on to say, and then enduring the cross and despising the shame. That is his soul or his emotion, the emotion of shame. He said, I endured spirit, soul, and body so that as you go through, you can overcome spirit, soul, and body. That in the same manner you saw me, this is Jesus talking, in the same manner you saw me is in the same manner so can you. And he says, I wrote the book. I am the book. St. John 1:1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. There was nothing made that was made that he did not make from the words out of his mouth. And so we understand, praise the Lord, as it relates to that, that we need to see when we look at Jesus, when we're looking unto him, we're never the same. I want to deal with this morning by the Spirit of the Lord and to help us to understand the purpose by which Jesus came. And the thing about it is that I've been asking the Lord quite intently and intensely in terms of how do we minister in the current environment by which we live? How do we minister to a people that seemingly a nation, a country, a community that's seemingly becoming detached from instead of being pulled into, that would rather not come to church or not have anything to do with God, more so because it seems to be polluted, it seems to be not as powerful, whatever the case might be, whatever their reasoning or excuses is, how do we minister the word of the Lord? And the Lord told me, the Spirit of the Lord says, well, understand this, Tony, that I have not changed from the process and the procedure by which you shall be saved. The Bible is still the Bible. The Word of God is still the Word of God. It does not ebb and flow with the different things that happens in the community and happen in D.C. or happens anywhere. The Lord is still rock steady. It's still Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven, get your sins forgiven, and get to heaven. And just in case we didn't understand, the depravity or whatever it is still the same, but so is God. And so is the avenue by which he has given us to do. Sin is still sin, and Satan is the father of it, because sin separates us from God and puts us on a path of destruction. And if you choose sin over God, there is an eternal unresting place for you. Let me talk to the people at home. If you choose sin, you're choosing Satan. And you're choosing a fire bed for your eternal abode if you choose, amen, not to come back to God. You really do have, and this is not a soap opera, it is a soap opera, but it's not. You really do have one life to live. And if you choose to live that life outside of God, come on now, it's not about me talking about what God is. Look, God is always going to be who he is. He started everything he did from a love base. And if we can't see the love he has for us by the sacrifice of sending his only begotten son, if we can't see the love he has for us by the sacrifice that he did on Calvary's cross when they beat him to an inch of his life, if we can't see that, praise the Lord, hallelujah, it's because we steady to be satisfied of being outside of him. And you have to leave people where they are until they come to the knowledge for themselves. The Bible says one planet and one water. Somebody said, oh, that's cold. No, because when we was out there, it wasn't that people left us out there, but we really wasn't trying to hear what they were saying at the time we was out there, because truth be told, we enjoyed where we was more in doing that junk than we was trying to get in church. I can't get no help right there, but I'm just telling you, come on now. When we were sinners, we was a good sinner. Matter of fact, the party didn't start. And party over here, and party didn't start till we got there. And the party was going to be good. You had to prep for it. I can't get no help right there. We had to prep for it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, come on. I got to break it down for you. You had to get your head bad. Your head bad before you went, so you can enjoy yourself. Think about that. In order to have a good time, you had to get high. Notice how I'm throwing them U's out there. In order to have a good time, you had to alter. You had to alter your physical self to have a good time. And so really you was already going in forgetting. But what the Lord wants us to understand and see, we're living in a time where we cannot play games. We're living in a time where the recess bell has rung. It's classes in, and it's time to be holy and unholy. It's time to call it righteousness and unrighteousness. It's fire or heaven. It's heaven or hell. Choose you this day whom you gonna serve. Choose you this day whom you gonna serve. This kind of preaching is not popular. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't trying to win no popularity contest. I want my hands to be clean when I stand before the Lord. And I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because what kind of parent would we be if we saw our children going, getting ready to go over the cliff? And we said, go ahead, baby, have you a good time. Here, take you some money, take you some, here you go, just go ahead. We would not do that. And so why would we see a world that we know is dying? That people that get their own way, do what they want to do, and still be unhappy. You would think if you got what you wanted, you would be happy. That would be the fulfillment of all that you want to do. But there's just as many, this might not be good at church, but there's just as many same-sex couples getting a divorce as there is heterosexual. But I thought if you got what you wanted, then you would be satisfied. I thought if you couldn't get what you wanted and in a heterosexual and you got the same sex, you should be happy by now. But you're not happy yet. So they're telling you that where you are is not what you need. You need Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that can satisfy. Oh, yes. I'm going to put a praise on it. See, I told y'all, before we got into this, you got to put a praise on it, because y'all didn't know where I was going. Hallelujah. But I stand flat-footed and let you know that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came for the sin that was separating us when Satan was our Lord and when he was our master and when we didn't have no choice and when all our desires was to fulfill what he had gave us to do. And now that we on the Lord's side, we ain't got no shame in our game. We are happy about it. We got the joy of the Lord. No, they want to silence us. They want us to be quiet. They don't want us to make them feel uncomfortable. That devil is a lie. Hallelujah. I'm not making you feel uncomfortable. You feeling uncomfortable, because in every one of us, there is a piece of God In every one of us, whether you're saved or unsaved, there's a piece of God on the inside, just biding, laying dormant sometime down on the inside. You're still created by God. Everybody that's born of God was born with inalienable rights and by our Creator. And that little bit of God down on the inside, the prayers that was prayed for you, the prayers that the generations ago that was prayed for you, God has those prayers in the atmosphere. And you might not receive them in, but they're hovering over you. Hallelujah. How many know that it was the prayers that was prayed for you that kept you in all that junk anyway? While you was out there trying to do your thing, you still couldn't really get your groove on like you wanted to, because you kept hearing mama's prayers in your ears saying, boy, you know you don't need to be doing that. And you try to say, mama, hush, hush, I'm trying to get my groove on. I'm trying to, and I can't even get high right. I can't get drunk right. I can't do it because I keep hearing those prayers of the righteous availeth much. Hallelujah. God is a wonderful God. Let's call it what it is. Let's not make it murky anymore. Let's call it straight and be a straight shooter. Hallelujah. If it's light, let it be light. If it's darkness, let it be darkness. Hallelujah. And if I pray you feel uncomfortable, I pray you feel so uneasy. Praise God that it will provoke you to come to a God who can give you not just sleep, but he can give you rest. Hallelujah. And say that you will never thirst no more. People are thirsty. Hallelujah. And they quenching their thirst by coming to the same place that they always come. And you will never quench your thirst. Hallelujah. Till you drink of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he'll turn your water into wine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me deal with this in these fleeting moments. Over in Hebrews 10. That was a good introduction. Hebrews 10, but I won't be much longer. Hebrews 10, the first, it's not what's wrong with me, y'all. It's what's right with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on now. If you're trying to figure me out, you just need to get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on now. See, ministers of the gospel, you need to understand something. Sometimes God will give you a solid word that you know going in. And then sometimes he'll give you to do some things that he'll just drop it in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right when you get there. Ashamed to praise him. We can't be embarrassed by being blessed. Come on now. We can't be embarrassed by being blessed. All we did was make a decision. The difference between those who have and have not is a decision that was made. Those who have heaven and those who don't is a decision that you got to make. But everybody got to make their own decision. I love what my former bishop said, Holcomb said before passing on, but every top has to stand on his own bottom. And God will bless the child that has his own. Every top has to stand on his own bottom. And you got to have your own relationship with God. God has, he deemed it like that. He don't want, he want us to worship together. But he also wants us to understand that there is an individual. When people get married, you don't lose your individuality. You don't lose who you are in the midst of your marriage. You stay who you are. That's what got you the person that you're married to. Because they saw something in you, the individuality that you, and they said, I want to be with that for the rest of my life. And then you start to develop one another. And if you by yourself, I'm just saying, you still are who you are. Come on now. So in that, real quickly, oh, God, it's too much to do now. But let me just give you this, because I want you to understand something where I'm coming from. It says in this, I'm sorry, Hebrews 10 and 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers unto perfect. In essence, in the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices year by year. And it could not make them perfect, but it had an image of that which was to come, which is Jesus Christ. It's going to continue to explain it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If it could make them perfect, then they wouldn't have to cease from offering it. So there had to be something better that could come, and it's Jesus. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. If it worked completely, then they wouldn't have consciousness of sin. But because it didn't work completely, they had this consciousness of sin. And every year they had to come to this place. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. This is Jesus. Jesus saying, Father, I know you want the people to be clean. And I know you gave them a way in the Old Testament in which to do it. But it was a precursor for me coming. It was bulls and goats. But he says, prepare me a body. Come on, and I do it. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. That was the Old Testament system because it could not completely wash them. Come on, it couldn't completely wash them. The pleasure that God wanted was for us to be complete and for us to be whole and totally separated from Satan and sin. Totally separated from the influence of Satan and sin. And totally be joined to him. So he gave them a temporary measure in order to do that. But Jesus says, Lord, I know what you want. Make me a body. Then he says in verse 7, lo, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. He says here Hebrews, amen, 12, 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He says, up in 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us, here it is, lay aside. If you don't have a mechanism to lay aside the weight and the sin, if you don't have God's standard of the eradication of weights and sin, then you can't run the race because you're loaded down with what Satan's experience in your life has put upon you. So Jesus says, I come for the weights and the sin that's trying to prevent you from running the race that is set before you. Come on now. And Jesus says, lo, give me a body. I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. And his will was to free humanity from Satan's grip. That's why the Bible said, whom the Son sets free. Because he's coming in the volume of the book. Everything that God has ever spoken, Jesus came as for our benefit. Have you ever read a legal document? And whenever you do a legal document, it is lengthy, whereas for unto all that kind of stuff. And it's like pages upon pages upon pages. And the best friend of a law office is the copy machine, because you got to get copies of that. And it's very extensive. So it explains exactly what's entitled to you. I got $100 sometime from a thing that happened, and I had to fill out about 7 pages of paper for $100. And that's what Jesus says, I come. There no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, because he that came in the volume of the book can slap the devil backhand in any way he come. Everything that you need written about you has been written. He can't come in a way that God has not already seen. Who the Son sets free. And truth be told, if we wear on our chest the things that we've been delivered from, there would probably be something different upon each of us. And the way God delivered all of us wouldn't be the same. Because some of it, he had to go down in a deep hole. And some of us were standing on the land thinking we was all right. We were harder to reach because we thought we was all right. We didn't think we needed a physician. Hallelujah. Those who knew that was down in the pit, you knew you needed one. Hallelujah. But for us, we thought we was all right. So he says here, praise the Lord. All right. Oh, I come. Okay. So he says here, what I leave? 8. Above when he says, like this is saying, I love this. He just said it, but he's saying it again. Above he said, sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings. And offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure in them. I already said, I'm going to tell you again, which was offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come again. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Here is God talking to the Father. Here's Jesus talking to the Father. He says, lo, I come. I come in the volume of the book. Look, he said, and take it away the first that the law, thank you. I take away the first, the law. Come on, that's good. Come on, because somebody needed that. I take away the first. But he didn't take away the first until the second was established. He says, this has gotten you this far, but that which is coming is better. See, that which is coming is better. Now watch this. So he says here, that may establish the second by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once and for all. So through Jesus, sanctified, it just means set apart. That's a generic way to be set apart. Hallelujah. First you were separated by sin. Now you are set apart. First, you were separated by sin. Now, through Jesus, you are separated from sin for God. Are you getting this? So when we allow people and we cuddle them in their sin, we are preventing them from living the life that the Old Testament saints could live. You will never live your fullness of the life God birthed you for outside of him. So every high priest, 11, every high priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away the sin. It's gotten you this far. Same thing. But this man. Somebody say, but this man. But this man. After he had offered one sacrifice for sin. Year after year they will come. Same thing they offer. Same thing they will try to do. Same thing they try to do. But this man. This man. He is the man. This man. After he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down. It is finished. At the right hand said, you don't never have to offer another sacrifice because my sacrifice was good enough. My sacrifice will heal you. My sacrifice will fill you. I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. It ain't got good yet. He says, from henceforth, yes, it is, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Oh, God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, see, did you catch it? Did you catch it? Look at the flow. First mention of the Holy Ghost. But it says here, he says, after the offering was made for sin, after Jesus cleaned us up, and the Bible says that for 40 days after his resurrection, he was talking to them. And then it says, he says, now I want y'all to go and wait. Because now that y'all have been cleansed, now that y'all have received the sacrifice, now that you made your confession, now I need to fill you. Did you get that? He says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. See, it wasn't until Jesus ascended when he finished his work, when he gave us the avenue that we needed in order to be free. Come on, you need to celebrate your freedom. Your freedom, the world is deceived because they think their freedom comes from the legislation of the laws that is passed for the debauchery that they choose to live in. So every time that they have lit up the White House at one time celebrating debauchery, come on now. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the enemy. I'm just telling you that we can be careful not to celebrate those things. There is a standard that God has set that if we choose to live in sin, you will die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you will be eternally separated from God. But if you choose God, then there's a place that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be there also. And I want to help you with something that's a dualistic term. Because if you think that he's just talking about heaven, you're going to miss what he wants you to have here on earth. Don't put God in no box. Hallelujah. All right now. Because the place in him is not just the place in heaven. The place in him is the place he prepared for us to be in him while we on earth. Because if you're not in him on earth, you might not make it. Come on now. Come on now. You might not make it. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Boy, look, I know Jesus is the sacrifice. I know he's the only one done once. But I'm telling you, there's some traditional, this whole altar is filled with traditional sacred cows right about now. Because we are slaughtered. If you see the spirit, the sacred cows of tradition, is we slaughtering them right now. Is that all right? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now, because we got to stop this cute stuff. Amen. The Bible says that one planteth, one watereth, but God adds the increase. Paul told Timothy, he said, man, don't get caught up in them fables and them wives' tales and all that kind of stuff people are telling you about. Because God cannot increase. He only increases. It's a statement that we make, and I get it, but I'm telling you, you might not believe this, but we're wrong. In essence, they say, and it's true, that God is love, and God loves you. God loves you, but he don't love the sin. I can tell y'all, where is the sin? God loves the sinner, but God loves the sinner, but he don't love the sin. But where is the sin? It's in the sinner. Come on, we was all in sin. Yeah, God loves us. But in essence, he loves us enough to want to free us. That's why he sent Jesus. We still love our children. The father loves. So we're not celebrating it. Come on, we're not celebrating. You got to stand flat-footed. Hallelujah. And call it what it is, according to the word of God. That is love. That is love. Come on, that is love. That he should give eternal life to his many. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? According to the word right there. What is eternal life? Keep on reading. See, you read it too quick. You missed it. What is eternal life? It's right there. That what? That they might what? Uh-huh. That they might what? Come on. That they might what? Come on now. Are you, come on. Okay. I'm just telling you. This is eternal life. Don't get stuck on something that I've already said. Come on, go with me. I'm trying to explain it to you. Trying to explain to you what we need to do. If we're going to be effective evangelists for the Lord Jesus Christ, then all you got to do is show people the standard. Let them wrestle with whatever situation that they're in. Because nobody, David said, don't give me nothing that don't cost me something. And then Abraham said it like this. Most time when we attribute the blessings of God to something that we get, and I understand, I get it, but most time when we attribute the blessings of God that a saint get and we say God did it, it's always at a discount. It's normally at a discount. And because it was discounted, we say, and that is a blessing. Because, you know, that's why I get most of my stuff. If, you know, I get it discounted. You know, praise the Lord. Amen. God was in it. But Abraham makes a statement. He says, tell me the full price of this field. He said, if I buy it, I want to know the full price of this field. The full price. I want to know what is the, because I serve a God who can pay full price. And I'm not of somebody knowing God for themselves. And let us not let them be comfortable. You don't have to do anything to make them uncomfortable. I better not say that because y'all gonna say. I'm just telling you. This is not a per se a free zone from anything. Anyone can come. And all we're gonna do is just minister the word of the Lord. And when we minister the word of the Lord, you find yourself where you are. And if you because I promise you that anything you have outside of God, eventually, it's going to dry up. Eventually, it's going to dry up. Eventually, that's just the nature of it. Because the enemy doesn't have anything. Everything he got is temporary. Everything he got is temporary. And you'll be don't tell me how much I say, okay, that's good. That's between y'all. I'm going to tell you about this word. I want to see how excited about this word you can get. I want to see if you can live separate from one another until you are officially married. Don't come in here with no date already because we might find out something in here that you might want to say. We might want to push that down the road a little bit. I'm just telling you that you have to let the word of God be the standard. Because you talk about puppy love and all that kind of stuff. You come in all excited and all that kind of, all you're just trying to do is just make it to the honeymoon. But I'm trying to give you something that's going to keep you after the honeymoon. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to give you something that's going to keep you, hallelujah, to death do you part. I'm trying to give you something that's going to keep you in sickness and in health. Hallelujah. I'm trying to give you something going to keep you richer and poor. I told y'all before, I'm talking about prenup. We ain't got nothing to nup. All right. So, most time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Boy, I got to end, y'all. We're too far. Oh, wait. So that you might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Oh, come on, sir. In me. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture that I wanted. He says, watch this. Okay, what did I read out? 16, let's just do 16 again. This is the covenant, y'all there, that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, the days of Jesus Christ after his resurrection. I will put my laws in their heart. And then, because you know why? Because Jesus paved the way for him to do that. And I will write them in their minds, will I write them? And their sins, watch this, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Ooh, because now my word is in your heart, it's in your mind, and your sins, God says, I won't even remember as far as the east is from the west. Ooh, he says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin because it's paid in full. There's nothing, it's paid in full. Jesus paid the full price for our into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Approaching. Let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves. Don't let anyone take us to cause us to believe any different than we already believe. Don't stop coming to the house of God. Don't stop doing what you know is right to do. No matter how uncomfortable it gets outside those double red doors and in the community, stand for God because God has stood for you. He has cleansed us. He came all the way from heaven. He put on flesh, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And now he's in us because we confessed him to say, Lord, come in. Let us not deprive anybody from that privilege and that opportunity. Just stand fast and stand firm. And when you get to that tension point where a person has to make a decision, I've told people before, I had a few to leave. Because if I said, well, what's the situation here? They said, oh, well, you know, it's convenient for us. You know, they're not here anymore, so I'm not talking about anybody here. But they said, you know, it's convenient for us to live together. I said, oh, you're married. I said, according to the word of the Lord, I'm trying to help you economically, amen, but I'm trying to help you more so spiritually. Amen. There's a standard that the Lord has, and we must adhere to that standard to live the life that he wants you to live. And so he's so wonderful. Isn't he glorious? Isn't he magnificent? God has a life just for you that he wants you to live. He don't want you to live in sin. He don't want you living with Satan hovering over you in some situation. But this is what the Lord does, just like a parent. When times get tough and we're raising our kids, sometimes we call it tough love. And sometimes you got to let them go. Come on, and put them in the and commit them to the hands of God. Sometimes you got to let them go and commit them to the hands of God. God will keep them. God will watch over them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if you can't abide by the standards or the rules of this house, you got to go. You know, but that's love to let you go. So we won't continue to be fighting on the inside. And then the Bible says about the prodigal son, he got down to where he thought was all of his friends, but he got down and he came to himself. Because the word does not go out and return void. But down on the inside, somewhere, God will keep talking to them. He'll send angels. He'll do what he got to do. And eventually, they'll come to themselves. And they'll be wondering, can I go back to, after all of the destruction that I did for the few, he said, can I go back to my father's house? The father was already waiting. Because the Bible says about the father, and this is talking about God. It's not so much about the prodigal son, it's about the father. The Bible says that the father saw him afar off. Saw him afar. He never took his eyes off of him. Because you know why? Hold up. Because when he couldn't see him in the natural, he saw him in the spirit. He saw him in the spirit. And he saw him fulfilling what God had for him. So what did the father do? I think he put a praise on it. I think every day he was praising him. That's why when the son got home, he said, kill the fatted calf. Because I already put a praise on it. But what I'm drawing in from the spirit, I'm seeing it now in the natural. And God has manifested that which I already believed him for. So don't lose faith in God. I feel my help already. It's time to go. Oh my God. I want you just to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to ask God to give you a family member. Maybe it might be a child. Maybe it might be a grandchild. I want you to see them now. You can't see them physically, but I want you to see them in the spirit. And I want you, the Bible said his word does not go out and return void. Send his word. Send his word. Send his word. Send his word. And see and prophesize. Hallelujah. Prophesize. The Lord, I'm going to see. Hallelujah. Because your word does not go out and return void. You cannot lie. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we might live this new way in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah and amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand of praise. He's a wonderful God. Saints, I end today as I started. And that is this. Your assignment, the anointing that you were birthed to carry, your assignment that you was birthed to fulfill is too important for you not to carry it out. You are so critically, vitally important. Whenever we have bad weather, which is not often around here, they close. Don't come in. All of us, because we live in these turbulent times, all of us is important or essential for the plan of God. Hallelujah. And sometimes you might just have to ask God, Lord, show me how important that I am. That's not pumping yourself up. That's not being prideful. But you need to know that you are so significant to the plan of God. Hallelujah. How many people can you certify that won't get ministered to if you don't minister? You know something? You don't know. Because there's just as many people that's watching you than you're talking to. There's probably more people that's watching you you never said nothing to. But the Bible says that we are written epistles read of men. Somehow, because God has written it upon your heart, people can see the script upon your life. They can see what God has written in your heart, on your life. And they're looking at you. And you are the King James Bible, or whatever version you are. You're the version of your name, Bible. Each one of us have a Bible. And people are reading you. They're reading you. They're reading you. And you know, somebody would say with that comment, well, what are they reading? I promise you, they're only reading the portion of God's word that he has written. They're not reading that other stuff, because he said we are written epistles read of men. They're only reading what God have written. And all that other stuff, they're not even paying attention to. Because they're drawn to you by the words that they see of what God has written. Let him write on you this week like never before. Let the word of God dwell in your hearts and in your minds like never before. And Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's put that. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now you're here today, praise God, upon the sound of our voice, everybody.